And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 150. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, 150 episodes of comic goodness. We're calling this one Spotlight on DC Comics, Future's End, number 2 and 3-ish.
And 4 and 5.
Yeah, we're We are winging it.
Yeah, unlike normal.
Yes, unlike normal. I'm Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox.
Yeah.
So, last time we talked about Future's End, it was the first 0 and number 1. I think we all agreed that the bloody Free Comic Book Day issue was not that great to have on a Free Comic Book Day, and a lot of people's commented on that. So yeah.
Just as a general impression, real quick, I am glad that I did not discount this title simply because of that zero Free Comic Book Day issue.
I want to read it because I just think something's going to happen in it that's going to be important. And but yeah, I like it with air quotes. I don't love it.
Do you lure it?
Well, I just don't like how they've changed some of the characters, Mr. Terrific especially. But there is a 5-year gap that we don't know about. Oh, 5-year gap. That sounds familiar.
He's our homeboy, Mr. Terrific.
Yeah. So anyway, I think Murray is the one that read the first, the 0-1, and didn't read any of the others.
I didn't. I read the first issue.
Okay.
But now I'm up to date.
Oh, well, okay, good.
Magical.
How that happens?
I don't even want to talk about how that happens, but yeah. I'm up to date.
Yes, it's all magical of the, yes.
You're a wizard.
All righty.
Someone is. I'm just a reader.
Yes. So of reading up to date, which I think I still haven't read number 7. It's on my tablet. I haven't read it yet. So how do we want to do this? Murray, you had an idea there, so you want to jump in?
Sure, man. Let's go with characters and stories and see where they're at. Like,
all right.
Like, who are the main characters?
Well, okay.
Well, Firestorm is definitely one of the main characters.
I would say, yeah. They're focusing on him a lot.
Now, he hasn't done anything other than not do anything.
Yeah, which I think is doing something in a way. Does that make sense?
Inaction is action.
Yes, that is correct.
So
his story hasn't seemed to... I don't see it tying into the other stories yet. I see it as providing a little glimpse into what's happened in the 5 years.
Yeah, something he supposedly sacrificed something, and he's tired of sacrificing at least Ronnie. Raymond.
Time out real quick.
Yes.
This is a spoiler-filled podcast.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Very spoiler-filled. Of course, this is a couple weeks old. This is number 2 is what we're looking at it. At least I am, anyway.
Number 7 gives his motivation.
Oh, it does. Oh, well, damn it.
Yes, he's lost something in the war. Summer cold.
Are you dying on me, man?
Yes. Okay. Anyway, yeah, it's through his story that we learn that there's been a war with Earth 2.
That part I knew.
I think that's what we're supposed to take from it. It sounds like Earth 2 has been destroyed by the Apocalypse War.
Mm-hmm.
Which we're seeing start to play out in Earth 2 right now. Well, mm-hmm. It has been playing out for...
Ah, I see it.
Do you know what I mean? So I think through the Firestorm story, we learn that Earth 2 has been destroyed, and it sounds like the Earth 2, if not the Earth 2 heroes, at least the people of Earth 2 have jumped worlds and are now part of Earth 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Whatever it is. So... It seems like we've got Earth 2 people living on Earth 1, but they're not totally accepted. They're sounds like because they look like they all have an Earth One counterpart, that people are not trusting them, or they weren't trusting of them, and that led to lots of strife and trauma on DC Earth.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that apparently Ollie had helped with, from what I gathered in his eulogy.
Right. He was proposing that people just get along, man.
Yeah.
He was. I mean, that's what Oliver Queen has always been about.
He was the
people's hero, because he was just a guy with a bow and arrow, and that was made him easy to relate.
Yeah. So let's see. The way is
so for Firestorm's sake. I mean, it's again a good reminder. It's two guys bonded together. It's Ronnie Raymond, who's a doofus jock party guy, and what is his name?
Jason Rush.
That's it. Yes.
Jason Rush. He's the brains of the outfit, but Ronnie is the body, and he controls everything they do. So for the course of at least up through issue 6. Ronnie has decided, because Jason blames Ronnie for Green Arrow's death, for partying rather than going to work, going to help Green Arrow, Jason was going to out him as a douche, and out Firestorm as a douche in general.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, no, I'm going to keep us bonded, and you're going to be stuck in here so you can't open your big yap. There's fighting going on outside.
There's a big yap.
Yeah, sorry about that.
All right.
Which is kind of ironic, because it was Jason that forced the two of them to become Firestorm in issue 1, wasn't it? Like, Ron didn't want to have anything to do with it.
To help Jason with help the, Green Arrow, which...
Yeah. And Jason caused the merge, I think. I think either one of them can cause it. So Jason causes the merge, and now he's stuck inside Firestorm.
Well, I think they said in one of them that they both have to agree to the merge and the separation.
They definitely both have to agree to the separation.
Mm-hmm.
The merge, no. It's because I think, at least as of issue 1, the merge changed. It used to be that that Ronnie Raymond could activate it from wherever and suck in his other half, whoever it was, whether it was Professor Stein or Jason Rush. But now they actually have to touch.
Okay.
Ooh, gotcha.
So I don't know. I used to read Firestorm a lot. He would occasionally, Ronnie Raymond would, you know, Professor Stein would be in the middle of something.
And yeah, I remember seeing that.
He gets sucked into the Matrix. So, but now they actually, like you said, Murray, Jason actually, you know, confronted Ronnie and merged him. And
yep, that's what happens.
Showed up, now he's showed up.
Showed up too late to help Green Arrow in issue 1. So, in this whole, all this time, he's been keeping Jason Rush in a sensory deprivation situation, watching him party and hang out and generally not be a hero.
Yeah, Jason is kind of losing himself into the Firestorm Matrix, which is.
Yeah.
Sucky for him.
But then he shows when they finally let when Ronnie finally lets him out, Jason goes back to his life, and we find out that he was working for for Star Labs, I think. Was it Star Labs?
Mm-hmm.
And they are building teleportation devices there.
Yep.
Which I think is that's going to play a big role at some point in this. I think.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah, I think that's where the storylines will start to converge, like the. The transporter, teleporter thing is gonna play a role.
Yeah.
Get that phlegm out.
Ah, if I had phlegm to get out.
Oh, hey.
Okay, so that's what's going on with Firestorm.
And Ronnie is basically, spoilers. His mom died in the war, Chris.
Yes, I just glanced through that issue.
And it was in Pittsburgh where the big confrontation occurred, of all places, which was his home turf, at least back in the the previous Firestorm series.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, or maybe two series ago, but...
Yeah, something about a ship falling.
Yes, we don't know what that's about either, do we?
No.
Yeah, because there's a big memorial. Yeah, the Battle of Pittsburgh Memorial. So yep. There was, that was where the big battle was.
But we don't know who the battle was between.
Yeah. Really. Do those other names look familiar when they do the close-up?
Well, there was William Riker.
Yeah, that's true. It's just spelled a little different.
I thought you would catch that. I didn't...
Yeah, I missed it till you said it. So interesting.
Yeah, nothing else jumped out at me there, though.
No, me either.
I think that's kind of the point, is it's just a lot of miscellaneous people died somehow during this big war that, as Murray noted, we had all these people migrate over from Earth 2 to Earth Prime, or whatever they call it. I don't know. But
yeah.
So, something happened that Earth 2 is no more. So.
Interesting.
Well, yeah. Well, they better fix that. That's all I gotta say.
Better fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
5 years of comic book time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Remember, none of this is in stone.
Well, of course not. And it says futures for a reason. They've pointed that out already.
Mm-hmm.
When it says futures, it means, you know, they give you the hint of alternate universes, which kind of talks about what we were talking about in the pre-show. So, you know, we'll get to that. So, okay, then who's next in the rotation of people then?
Mr. Terrific, maybe? He seems to be playing a big role.
Yeah, somehow, which he is not anything like the one that went over to that universe. He seems arrogant for some reason.
Maybe it's the Earth 2 Mr. Terrific.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought.
Who's wearing...
Nope, no. Has anybody called him Terry?
He's wearing blackface, Murray.
He's wearing blackface.
Well, see, that was what I was wondering.
Manny.
It's not Terry Sloan. Has anybody actually called him?
Well, the name of the company... Oh, no, it's Terrific-Tech, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, he's still... Okay, he called him Michael. That was his Michael. Name before,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Terry is the Earth 2.
Terry Sloan was the one that
on
was
Earth 2.
From Earth 2 that was evil. Okay, so he was over there on Earth 2 during when everything went down. They've only showed him a little bit in the Earth 2 book.
Yes, at some point he must find his way back, either during the war or before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they switch him out when Power Girl and Huntress move back.
Yeah.
He has to maintain a balance. No, whatever. there can be only one.
And that comment he makes, and I think it was either 2 or 3, says he's telling... You know, Aquaman off, basically. And he says, we're lucky I'm not a villain. And he says, why is that? Because all of you are here together, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, some of the things he said and the way he acts, and a lot of people don't like that, from what I've been reading, you know, in the reviews and stuff. So yeah, he's got something going on. And we saw from the Zero that had something to do with the Brother Eye satellite. I believe they're the ones... Him and Batman worked together somehow. If I remember correctly, that little mentioning, we shouldn't have built it. That's what Terry McGinnis had said.
Absolutely right.
So it was him that... I don't know. You should... I got the impression that they built it together. But I could be wrong about that.
You're not. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and they realize, yes, then you and Mr. Terrific should never have built it. Yeah, that's right. He meant the world, though. I won't live in Brother Eye's world. That's what the exact words were. So he had something to do with it as well. And it seemed like, from the comments, some of the other comments, that they were at odds about what was going on too. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in this series it's revealed that the person we think is Mr. Terrific is someone else.
That sounds good.
You have an echo.
Yeah, it'll go away. There it goes. And
no, I agree. He's not acting Michael Holtish.
No, he's... Didn't we say at one point he was acting like that character from Watchmen, Ozymandias?
Yeah.
That sort of...
That's kind of what I'm getting out of it, yeah.
Yeah, he's got this too-big-for-his-britches attitude that's either a result of something that we haven't seen yet or because he isn't who he says he is.
You know, or he's putting up a front so people think he is a certain way, and then he's going to pull an Ozymandias at the end of it where I had a big plan and you guys were all part of it. And he is he's the world's third smartest man, right?
Yeah, I believe that's what was said, yes.
Although I think in one of the issues I just read, he's been bumped up to the smartest.
Ooh.
I want to say issue 4 or 5, maybe he... I thought he mentioned he was the smartest, so... Some other people have been demoted or have been taken from the list for some reason.
That's true. They never did actually say any point, or maybe they did, and I just never read it. Who number one and number two were?
No, they never have.
No, they like to keep us guessing.
But number two was obviously Robert Wagner. So that's.
I don't remember reading. I was looking through one of these other ones. I don't remember reading all that one. I'm gonna have to read through it again because.
You don't remember Robert Wagner's number two?
No. I'm talking about in this issue 5 here. I don't think I finished it. Yeah, that's when Ronnie finally let him out.
Was it number 5 or number 5 or number 6?
Number 5.
Number 5. Okay. Wow. You know, that's the thing is, as he come out every week, it's like I'm really appreciating the fact that it's every week.
I mean, yeah.
Unlike the villains. The Forever Evil,
mm-hmm.
That was forever published.
Oh my god, yeah, that was terrible.
So
you got, okay, so that's another one.
Unless we forget Grifter.
Yes, Grifter. He's pretty much the same character he was when the New 52 restarted. He can see aliens, and nobody else can, and he's going around killing them. And we find out later on in the series that he's got a guy helping him, trying to figure out ways to stop them more permanently than, well, you know, trying to find out more about them instead of just blowing their heads off. Trying to think. I thought it was kind of cool, though, in the just back to Green Arrow for a second, Animal Man's eulogy of him, where right now and. Like the second issue of Justice League United, they're like basically on each other constantly.
Oh yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
You mean the POS series, Justice League United?
Yeah, that's it. What, you don't like that? I'm actually enjoying that. Okay, so who was I talking about before I?
Grifter.
Yes, Grifter. That's about all there is to tell about this guy. I mean,
well, he can see more now than he can see more now than just the aliens. He's able to identify like Earth 2 people.
Oh, that's right. He can do the dimension. He can tell if they're from Earth 2. That's correct.
He's got lots of.
There he is, right there.
Which was a power? Wasn't that a power that Vibe had?
Yeah, well, they kind of just like pretended. The Vibe disappeared, and so at some point, I remember somebody saying about it, and we never seen him again. So, but yeah, him and his buddy are tracking several different people.
Yeah, Vibe disappeared at the end of Forever Evil, along with Element Girl.
That's right.
But yeah, you're absolutely right, Marie. He has all the abilities to see. what the rest of us can't see. But he's being pursued by Faraday.
Now, King Faraday, I know, and it's not a version we've ever seen before.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Wasn't King Faraday, wasn't he more of a good guyish? In the
yeah, movie? He was. He was just well, yeah, evil was about like his, it. Depends yeah, on, you know, which one you look like at.
A white-haired FBI agent, tough as nails sort of dude.
Yeah.
And now he's younger, I guess. At least either younger or he's using, like, the Grecian hair formula. And he's a little more sarcastic or something. He doesn't have the by the book agent, FBI agent attitude that I remember him having, so they've mm-hmm. revamped him quite a bit.
And he's talking to somebody, we don't know who.
Yeah.
And he pops up and basically shoots Grifter in the back, makes him paralyzed, and then I don't think you see him for a while, do you? Shows him in, like, in bed, and he won't shut up, so they put a, you know, thing on him.
They put a gag ball on him. They gimp him.
Uh-huh.
They send him off to, what do they call it, Omak Island or something?
Yeah, or Cadmus.
Yeah,
Cadmus Island.
Cadmus Island, thank you.
Because the next they show that. We'll get to that here shortly. Because there's something going on there.
Yeah, they've recruited him for something. He's been recruited to work with the Terminator and a new character, I guess. Some little girl whose name...
Oh, that's Father Time.
No. No, it's her name's 50 Sue or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
50 Sue is absolutely right.
50 Sue? Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
I missed that one.
That's an issue. Step.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I just glanced at that. I haven't read it yet. Okay, I'll check that out later.
Now, she shares a lot of similarities with Father Time. She's, you know, sarcastic and foul-mouthed and a little girl, but
so, okay.
Now, Father Time is a little Japanese girl with a mask on her face. Yeah. Diamond mask. They did make... There was a weird moment in number 7, and again, not to make number 7 too much of a focus of this conversation, but where Grifter talks about Deathstroke, and Deathstroke talks about Grifter, and they act like... And the way they're talking, they don't know each other, but they were both in Team 7 together in that reboot that with Amanda Waller and Steve
That's
Trevor.
Right.
I'm curious. It strikes me as odd that they would write that off completely because...
Well, maybe one of them's from the other Earth.
Possibly. That's not a bad thought.
That's the only thing I could figure. I haven't read the details, but either that or they're pretending that they don't. That's the only other thing I can figure.
Well, that seems unlikely given how much this group, the Cadmus group, along with their homegrown Omaks, know. Like that line in number 7 where she says, or he says, don't feed the Omaks.
Yeah. Interesting.
But Grifter, yeah, clearly, I mean, there's something, another one of those, it's kind of like watching Game of Thrones where there's like 7 storylines going on and they don't seem to have anything to do with each other, but at some point...
Yeah, well, this is going to be going on for 52 weeks and we're only 7 weeks in, so... It's not all going to be clear right now. The underlying... Well, we haven't talked
about... my clarity today, damn it.
Yeah. Well, we haven't talked about the main thing is Batman... Terry McGinnis from Batman Beyond. Come back in the past to stop the future from happening. In 35... He's like 35 years from now. Which we saw in the Zero one where Omak is taking over superheroes and blah, blah, blah. And... That disturbing picture of Black Canary's face in Frankenstein's chest, which I just found and hoped I'd forgotten and never saw again, but apparently I just did. Ah, bingo! Oh, wait, no, that was 35 years ago. Never mind. I saw Deathstroke dead. I realized
that. Well, there was an interesting moment in number 7 with Plastique and...
yeah, that's right.
And
she was the one that...
Greg McGinnis.
She was the one that came across with him. So that's got that underlying theme, and he's supposed to stop happening something that's already happened. So that was the main thing we're trying to stop. So he's trying to figure out how to fix that. Let's see, what else we got?
We still don't know what Alfred stands for, do we?
No, we don't. And they make sure that they spell it out, too.
That must be a pain in the ass for the letterer.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. see.
So Terry McGinnis, so he's hanging out. Remind me again, why is he going after Michael Holt, or at least Terrifatech? Is it sort of like in a Terminator?
Brother I was created by him or somebody. We assume him. He went back to stop it from being launched, but they overshot the mark, and its satellite's already in space. It just hasn't been turned on yet. And you see one of the issues, Terrifatech basically give out a T-sphere like an iPad to everybody. I think that was in 3 that happened.
He gives out something that everyone seems excited to have.
Yes. Because he's got his little T-spheres. Maybe that was in 4. Yeah, it was.
It's little personal T-spheres for everyone.
Yeah, I forget what he called it.
U-sphere, I think, or U.
Yeah, let me find it.
U-sphere, that's right.
Number 5, maybe.
Yeah,
there you go. So, yeah, he goes on, makes a big thing, and right before he says, time to be a superhero. Yeah, he said that. The U-sphere, it's more than your phone or your computer, your GPS, your tablet, it's you. Your life and the lives that those in it. So, yeah, basically that's what it is. Your brain's backup, he says.
Yeah, that's not going to be good.
No.
I remember there was an episode of Doctor Who where the Cybermen were taking over.
Yeah, yeah. Had those things in their ears.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that didn't work out very well for them, did it?
Yep. Sutter's Cove, Maryland.
So maybe Terry McGinnis is the doctor.
He might be.
His companion. Never mind. Sorry.
Yep.
Been watching too much Doctor Who lately.
So anyway.
So Terry McGinnis is basically he for the last 3 issues he's been standing around that park. That's been his role.
Yeah, trying to find a way into Terrifatech, because he tried it once and he was discovered very quickly.
Along with Plastique, who are a separate group of people. I mean, we've got Plastique. We've got who are the other two?
The Key. I don't know who the other guy is.
The Coil or something?
Coil, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're supposed to know the Coil.
I don't know if we are either.
But it's definitely a different version of Plastique. There's no question about that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we've seen her in the New 52, haven't we, Plastique?
Yeah, she was part of that whole Villains United thing, or the Forever Evil.
Yeah, so this seems like a different Plastique. This seems like a younger...
Yeah, it does. It might be the Earth 2 version.
The Earth 2 version, absolutely.
Well, could be, right? Because in issue 6 or 7, we see...
I'm trying to find the one they were planning.
We see what Terry McGinnis has been pushing around in his...
Oh, that's right. He's been pushing around that chick.
Yeah, he's pushing around in like a, what do you call it, grocery cart.
Yep.
A robot version of Plastique.
Yep.
Or a cyborg version.
Old Macified version.
An old Macified version. Yeah. So.
Yeah, she's Plastique, Coil was the other guy's name. Yeah.
Coil? Maybe, and this could be completely wrong, because I don't know what the status of these characters are, but Coil may be from Dakota, Dakota City. Mm. Maybe a static character.
That's very possible.
Oh. Hmm.
I'm retired.
Yeah, we get the impression, like, I think he says that Flash put him away.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out. Says he's retired.
Well, anyway, I like that version of the key. I kind of miss the silly headdress one, but
yeah.
I think that one's very similar.
Hmm.
It looks really similar to me, but
the key.
I could be wrong. I guess I'm not thinking of the same one. But yeah, well, the plastique. She seems a little bit unhinged.
Yeah.
Well, there always has to be an unhinged female character. There does. I mean, there seems, you know, you get one of these storylines. There's always the Harley Quinnish.
Character. Yeah, that's true. Good point.
Yeah, and she's certainly playing that role to a point.
Because we haven't seen any of those characters. We haven't seen the Harley Quinn. We haven't seen Joker. We haven't seen, like, heck, I don't know. Have we seen Gotham for that matter?
Not really. No.
No, we haven't really seen any of the Bat family, with one exception.
Yeah, and that's... Yeah, we haven't got to him yet.
Yes. What? What do you mean? We talked about Terry McGinnis, didn't we?
No, the other member of the... Well, it depends on whether you consider him a member of the Bat family.
Oh, right. I forgot about him. Sorry, you're absolutely...
So apparently, got Lois Lane has been watching this kid that's running this bar, and come to find out, at one point, Red Robin died, quote unquote, in a war, probably one of the Earth Wars, and he's been hiding out with a beard, and he was actually injured, because they mentioned that.
There are a lot of beards in this series.
Yeah.
Everyone's beard.
Trying to make him look older, but apparently Red Robin, which is, crap, I can't think of the name.
Tim Drake.
Is hiding out in the bar, and he's very down on the quote-unquote heroes.
So in the current, in the Teen Titans, is Tim Drake.
Yeah.
How old is
Tim?
Well, he looks like he's in what Nightwing's age would be now, I guess.
Right. But
I think he's about the same age as that Chicky Poo he's hanging out with, and she's early 20s, maybe.
Yeah, I would think so.
So subtract 5. So I guess he could still be a Teen Titan back in the present. Okay. I'm not meaning to be nitpicky on continuity. It just he seems older. He seems mid-20s in this.
Oh, it's the beard, man.
It's the beard, right?
It totally is.
And he did get shot in the knee, because he was mentioning his knee injury.
Yeah, that's a kill shot.
Yeah, because I used to be an adventurer just like you until I got shot in the knee.
Right.
There's a game called Skyrim that's a fantasy RPG, and every once in a while you meet a guard and he'll say that. So that's kind of what the joke is, you know. It's like you'll be just walking around and, I used to be an adventurer like you until I got shot in the knee. So anyway, that's why I said that.
And you're
no. I know, I'm a geek of way out there.
Of many tastes.
It's just funny because you hear it about in the early stages of the game, you hear it about 15, 20 times, and different people saying the same thing. It's just one of those static dialogue things. Okay, so who else we got? We talked about
Red Robin. He's running the bar. He's being Lois Lane is trying to out him.
Yeah.
But we don't know who's behind the Lois Lane story. Like, someone is feeding Lois clues.
Oh, well, who do you think? It's Batman. It has to be Bruce Wayne. That's his MO.
That's his thing.
I don't know why I didn't think of it before. That's exactly the kind of thing. He's probably hoping she can talk him out of hiding.
You know what? I have a better theory. I think it might be Michael Holt.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's not bad. Not bad at all.
So, yeah, somebody gave her those, like, 3 or 4 clues in a box.
Yep.
Box of clues.
Bunch of numbers and...
Clues.
Numbers and a
pyramid.
Yeah, a pyramid and an arrowhead, I think she said. A green arrow, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's...
And he's very bad on the bad... Yeah. Drake's really down on Batman because he's like another chunk of beef to be ran through Bruce's meat grinder. And he sees Terry's character show up on TV. So let's see. Constantine shows up and he looks like hell.
Yeah, for like an issue he shows up.
Yeah, and there's crop circles with it looks like Brainiac's symbol.
Oh.
That's what that was. I was trying to figure out what it was. Now, is that the Brainiac symbol, crop circles, is that the Brainiac symbol in this universe, or is that just animated I'm thinking of? I think it is his symbol now again.
Could be. See, I was thinking it was something from Apocalypse, but...
Yeah, it might be Apocalypse.
But
it's very Kirby-esque.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that just hit me just now was the Brainiac thing, because I just got through watching the last episode of the Legion cartoon the other day.
Well, Lois Lane's got ties to Brainiac in the current Superman titles.
Yeah, that's interesting. Interesting. Okay.
Brainiac 5.
Yeah. So Lois
Lane's actually a player. I'd forgotten about her as being part of this. And I actually had forgotten about Tim Drake as well, because it's been one of those situations where he's been like Sam Malone and we've only seen him in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello?
No, I'm here. I'm just looking here.
Go ahead, Murray. Sorry.
No, I was just saying bigger things will come from those two. Like, they'll be there. There's definitely something there in the
She's running her own website, I guess. She's not an official reporter anywhere.
Yeah, it sounds like the Daily Planet is no more. It sounds like she's doing the Fastlane thing. She's the editor-in-chief of this blog site.
And I think it's interesting, there's been no mention of the big three.
No, well, Superman showed up with a mask.
Somebody,
because I was just going that, because King Faraday was watching her, and he's talking to whoever he's talking to on the call, and he's about to move in, and then somebody in a Superman outfit with a face mask shows up, and basically says, not a... wise move. Miss Lane is off limits.
Leave my Lois alone.
So somewhere, some reason, he's wearing a mask. Or, well, they assume it's Superman because it's, you know, somebody in a suit and he can fly and everything. It can technically be anybody, I would imagine.
We've seen that there is a Superman on Earth too that does not look anything like the Superman that we are all familiar with.
Oh, you know what? That's very possible. It could be him.
Oh.
But his name Kevin or something like that? I don't know.
That's the black kid? He would be a lot older at that point.
Wow.
That's very possible.
Well, yeah. Years older.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, maybe it's him.
I never thought of that. I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah, because we haven't seen any of the Earth 2 characters.
No.
So for
Michael Holt.
Other than, and he's...
Well, technically he's an Earth 1 character, though. Unless that's the Earth 2 version of Michael Holt.
Mm-hmm.
Wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey.
I thought he was an Earth 2 character who had gone to Earth 1.
Nope,
other way around.
He was... Yeah. Remember at the... Because his series was canceled, and in the last issue he went over.
Right, no, I thought...
And Terry Sloan, the version that was on Earth 2, came over at the same time, but he wasn't there for very long. And he had kept Michael Holt, like, prisoner for a while because he's an evil bastard.
Well, actually, Desaad.
Desaad, that's right, it was Desaad, you're right.
Evil bastard.
Desaad kept him prisoner?
Yes.
I think so, yeah, you're right. So maybe
it
got changed. I've to tell you the truth, I've lost count. So
it's a little.
Wasn't Desaad hanging out in World's Finest? Like
he was on our Earth.
Yeah.
He was one of the one. Yeah, okay. And I think that guy with the mask, the black kid, black guy in the mask with the the cape that's the flag that was standing by Cyborg and at the funeral, I think that's the new Star Spangled Kid, I would bet. Because it has elements of both costumes, Stripesy and Star Spangled Kid. You don't get a very good look at him. Hmm. So, okay, I was there, found it. Numbers. Looking at the first box she gets. She's got a bunch of numbers. 423-816-105-2010. Lois, go alone and trust no one else. And there's a... Unless that was on her desk beforehand. There's a green pyramid, a tip of a red arrow, and a matchbook from Mr. Drake's bar.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the first one she gets.
Alrighty, interesting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. How long have we been going? About 49 minutes. How many people want to get that fair play tattoo that's on Mr. Trick's back? I've been thinking about it. I need a tat. That sounds like a good one. Or doing like the original one, had fair on one arm and play on the other. I've been thinking about that. Except for I hate needles. Really bad.
I kept thinking of Miro in that movie, with Nick Nolte. What was the name of that movie where
he... you lost me.
Never mind. So Frankenstein.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Frankenstein.
And the Return of Shade.
Yes. Which I liked Mad Scientist Ray Palmer with a lab coat with the Adam outfit underneath. I thought that was kind of cool.
And the new version of Amethyst.
Which apparently, if I gathered wrong, one of her world was destroyed as well.
It sounds like it was, yeah. Sounds like it was destroyed during one of the battles.
Yeah.
So now she's hanging out with Shade.
Find out. First we see him, Frankenstein, he was hiding out in the Arctic, and he saves a kid, an Eskimo, from getting eaten by a polar bear. And, yeah, here it is. It was issue 3. It was just when he finally shows up.
Yeah, yeah.
He cuts the claw off, and then some kind of thing comes out of it, and it's a Shade thing. So he goes to he's mad because he said, "Don't talk to me no more." And obviously, they've been keeping an eye on him,
which they do. That's their goal. But their thing is there's something going on that the carrier got destroyed that had the. That had Stormwatch on it, including...
Right, yeah, they're checking that out.
Including Frankenstein's ex-girlfriend. Who was that character? Remember we were
yeah, wondering... Yeah, the fish head? Yeah, exactly. Yes. That was his girlfriend. I remember her now, after they said that. Character. Yeah.
Along with Hawkman, and they go... They went boom!
Yeah,
we don't know what happened there. We don't know how that happened.
No, we don't.
So something's out there. So they decide that they. I don't remember how did Father Time know about that?
I just found it when they're talking about it. So that's a great weapon. Shade and open. Okay. He says, okay, you recognize that starship? No. It's a carrier. It was a ship capable of jumping across the universe via an interdimensional plane of reality called the Bleed. It was home of Stormwatch. As old as Shade's. In fact, it had crossed past many times. The paranormal threats on the Earth. Stormwatch is more than an early warning system takes from cosmic threats. Hawkman, I fought beside him in the Justice League. Blah, blah, blah. 3 weeks ago, the carrier was pulled out of the Bleed by an unknown force and into a solar system 7.
So it's not so much that they were tracking Stormwatch, they were watching the Bleed.
We don't know what happened. I think
so for some reason, Shade, Shade, was watching the Bleed.
Or it could have just been a big enough explosion it popped up on the radar or something. I don't know.
So they're going to use Ray Palmer's tech, his shrinking tech, to try and sneak through the Phantom Zone as a sort of a shortcut from one side of the universe to the other.
Yes, that was interesting how they pulled that in.
So they get into that his little ship, and in the Phantom Zone, and I thought this was actually a cool thing, is we are introduced to or reintroduced to Black Adam, who was put in there by Superman at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And we get that whole, the Phantom Zone has, there's no sense of time in there, and it's been 5 years, but he talks about it like it's been an eternity in there.
Mm-hmm.
Sensory deprivation.
True. Yeah, that seems like, there wasn't much as that Frankenstein stuff as I thought. I'm having trouble, there we go, they're talking about it. The nanite.
Yeah.
So they have a microcosm into the Phantom Zone. Yeah, here we go. I'm trying to look at the people that are in here. You got, that looks like Weather Wizard there. Might be an Amazo. I can't tell who the rest of them are. There's a woman. Yeah, that might be the regular Phantom Zone villains, but that guy looks like a Darkseid villain to me. Some guy with a mask. Interesting.
I didn't even look that closely at the background characters.
Well, yeah, the thing I'm reading the comic with has got this weird, wherever the cursor goes, it's like a magnifying glass, so I can, like, really look good. I don't recognize some of them. There's some kind of weird character over there, too. They're not, they don't all look humanoid. Well, at least that one doesn't. That almost looks like a Mazo, but it doesn't look like a robot. I'm just looking at the outfits. Anyway, what else we got? Trying to figure out anybody else. Yeah, Black Adam shows up. It'd be kind of funny if the Legion was in there.
Well, they're supposed to show up. I mean,
we know that.
One of the specials coming up has
well, there's two, actually, I think. Well, maybe it's the Justice League ones. That they have Wildfire and Dawnstar showing up. Okay, so anyway, they're in there. They find a parademon. So they're trying to get through. They get enlarged, and that's when Black Adam comes up. And, so, there you go.
Now, I'm curious who these characters are that are in there. There's some of them do look familiar, but
there's not enough to tell. The costumes is what looks more familiar than anything.
Interesting. I wonder who's...
Yeah, okay, so, all right, we're back there.
I'm intrigued. I'm sure somebody in the internet has already sussed this out.
Yeah, just have to find it. Yeah, and in the battle, they're not really showing anything. I haven't read that yet.
Now, I think it's interesting that Frankenstein's able to take on Black Adam, which is, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's Superman level, or at least Captain Marvel.
I would
level.
Think so, yeah.
But, and then Amethyst is zooming around in her Adam Strange outfit.
Yes, yes. That's kind of neat.
Cool, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. They get back. They don't get back. They make their way to...
Where the ship was destroyed.
The Stormwatch ship was destroyed.
And all the bodies are floating, I noticed.
Yeah. The bodies are there.
Sorry. So, yeah, so they traverse, and we get a little bit of insight. Something happened where, for some reason, Black Adam gets sent in there, and Frankenstein and Ray Palmer and Amethyst discover the dead Stormwatch characters.
So. We assume that they're dead.
Well,
there could be a little pocket of oxygen keeping them alive, you know, kind of like happened in Great Darkness Saga.
Pretty teats up.
Sure.
They don't look like it. I mean, they're not dismembered like Frankenstein, so.
But he can lose limbs, as we've found many times in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hell of a scar Amethyst has, too.
Didn't Batman disassemble him recently in Batman?
Yes, he did. He left him that way, and so he could go on, and yeah, he Drake had to help him sew himself back together, though. I remember that, reading that just recently.
Lovely.
That's just mean.
Well, he's trying to bring back Damien, and he got a little crazy, so.
Uh-huh.
But now he's not trying to do that anymore.
He's all better now.
Yeah.
Sorry. I think those are the main characters. I think we
covered them all. Points.
Yeah. If we've forgotten anything, you can let us know.
Yes, please let us know.
There are some tertiary or some secondary characters that have popped up here and there. We've got, you know, again, the rest of Shade. We've got, you know, the other people who are trying to break into Terrifatech at the same time as Terry Sloan.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Sloan. Not Terry Sloan, Terry McGinnis, sorry. These Terrys. So there's a lot of those storylines, and they don't, and again, because it's weekly, it's easy, I found it really easy to keep up.
Yeah, I do too.
Again, monthly, this would have been hellacious.
Oh, good lord, yeah.
A couple things in terms of the presentation. A, loving the covers. Every cover has been.
Yeah, I agree.
Worth looking at.
I think they're Ryan Sook, aren't they? Yeah, they are.
So far, yes. And issue 6, not the latest one, but the last week's, was so good. It was so freaking good.
Yeah, I have to admit that. I agree with you on that one. And they've been doing rotating artists, though, haven't they?
Rotating writers. Or not rotating writers, but they've been sharing the... I don't know if they're doing it the same way they did 52, where they kind of all took a key character and they wrote their stories. I have no idea whether that's how they're doing this one, but...
Yeah.
Have they talked about the writing process on this yet?
I haven't seen anything, but I haven't really looked. I'm sure there's something out there.
Well... Needless to say, number 6 was really, really good.
Yeah, I liked it.
I really hope they can maintain this quality because, you know, people talk about 52 with such reverence.
Mm-hmm.
This could, for me.
Oh yeah, I think it could if they were, do their cards right. Yeah.
I'm not quite the advocate of 52 as I know some people are, but this is turning out to be really good.
Yeah. I agree.
It's no countdown, but...
Oh, God. We can only hope.
Please, countdown was best forgotten. I don't know. What do you guys think overall? I mean, we're technically 8 issues into this thing.
Yeah. Well, I think it's still too early to tell. Because, you know, we do have... It is 52 weeks long. Countdown started out okay, and look how that ended. I think the thing that will ruin it is editorial interference. But right now, which this is obviously editorial driven, but I think they're letting them, the writers that they got are ones that they don't usually fool with. I mean, look at who you got. You got Brian Azzarello. His Wonder Woman run has been untouched. Dan Jurgens, he's kind of like their go-to when things go to hell. You know, they put him on stuff. Like Superman, Green Arrow, and I'm trying to think, Firestorm, they had him on there. And he's doing some of the art duties, it looks like. Jeff Lemire is kind of the same thing. He's like a golden boy over there. So I don't think there's going to be that much interference, but I don't know.
Of course, there's Old Man Giffen is on there. Wow.
Well, yeah. He's another one. Him and Didio were buddies, anyway. Anybody read that Infinity Man comic?
Yeah, I liked it.
I did, too. I thought it was pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
And what was that other thing? Oh, I'm still liking JLA 3000. I wow. like it.
But this is a... If this is really leading up to some type of... If not necessarily a reboot or restructuring of these universes, this is definitely editorially
driven.
There you go. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you for using that made-up word for me. I appreciate it.
No problem. But yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of evidence to the fact, because I forgot about that other weekly series that hasn't started yet, that Earth 2 one, which is probably going to be the actual war that takes place. I forget the name of it.
It's Earth 2 Titan.
World Ending.
That's right. So it's supposed to end the same time, because it's not as long.
It is, drum roll please, it is 24 issues long.
Yeah. So
this one will be, this one will be 48 or 49 with the zero. Batman Eternal is going to be 60, and up until 60 and maybe beyond. And then, of course, this one is 24 issues. Okay. We're wrapping up. Sorry.
Yeah.
But, so anyhow. So, that, again, also Earth 2, real quick, Earth 2 World's End is going to be also multiple writers along with multiple artists. None of the same writers, though, as that are on this.
Yep.
And I don't know any of these writers except for Tom Taylor. But anyhow,
so it's going to be interesting.
Shutting up now.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking forward to.
Yep. So, anyway, that is it.
Good job, DC, so far.
Yeah, this is actually pretty good. I mean, even though it's got the dark, really have hard time seeing the heroes kind of vibe to it. That seems to be DC's in the dark times of the 90s that Marvel was in, it seems like, right now. But anyway, it seems to be pretty good, and looking forward to see how it plays out. Cool. So, anyway, let's wrap this up. As always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think. Or you can join us on the Facebook page. We have 100 or so people on there that we chat about different things. And we can also comment on the actual episodes and let us know. Got the spam guard on there, so actually come through okay. And that's about it.
Cool.
Anything else, gentlemen?
Sounds good.
Alrighty. In that case, we are out.
Yay.